Thank you for your presence. You are welcome here. You are welcome here, Holy Spirit. Just come. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Lord, it's all about you. It's all for you. I thank you, Lord, for your power. I thank you, Lord, that you are multiplied as we meet together. And it is shed. Your light is shed throughout this community, throughout this neighborhood, bringing hope to broken hearts, Lord Jesus. Oh, you love to do that. You are repairing breaches, Father God. You are restoring things that have been lost. That's what you do, God. That's your economy. That's your government. And we thank you for that, Lord. The government is on your shoulders. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we just bless Pastor Michael and release your anointing and joy over him. And Lord, that your words would be spoken and would quicken our hearts and even our mortal bodies, Father God, with your life and your truth and your light. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is actually going to be a teaching sermon. I've never done a teaching sermon regarding communion before. I've always, but I just felt led in this direction this week. So first I want us to begin by imagining a scene at a restaurant with a host and a guest. I'm going to be the host. I know I put up hostess there. I was too late to change it. I'll be the hostess. Right. And I'm greeting customers as they come in. Good evening, sir. How many are in your party?
I'm not really sure.
How many will be joining you for dinner? One, two, three, or more?
I'm not really sure.
Sir, do you know why you're here in this restaurant?
No, I guess I really don't.
As a host, I might think that this guest is a very confused person. Thank you, brother. When you go to a restaurant, one would think that you need to know why you are there and who's going to be with you. When it comes to communion, you need to know the same two things. Question number one, why have you come to his table? And question number two, who's going to be with you? The word communion implies being with someone. The Oxford Dictionary definition of communion is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. For Christians, the ordinance of communion, ordinance is another fancy word for ritual, the ordinance of communion is more than eating a little wafer, a little wafer of bread, or drinking a little cup of juice. Communion was meant to express and experience an inward sense of fellowship, a sense of partnership. And it's possible that a person can go through the external motions of a communion service without experiencing fellowship. You don't want that to happen, but it's possible to have communion without having fellowship. How can that happen? Well, that's easy. I have an example. If I know what's good for me, I won't sit down for a meal with my wife, Laura, yet be a million miles away mentally. I guard against that. That would be dinner without fellowship. Okay, what did Jesus tell us about communion? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We should maintain a continual awareness of God's presence in our lives. And we should come to the communion table periodically as a continuation of our ongoing fellowship, to remind ourselves and to celebrate the very foundation of our relationship with Jesus. So let's look at that first question. Why are we here? Why are we going to be partaking of the bread and the wine? We have a pretty good answer. We come to the table because it expresses our inward or an inward reality. What is that reality? A remembrance of Christ's death in the past, an awareness of his presence in our lives right now, and an anticipation of his coming again. But what about that second question? Do you know who's in your party? Well, my first response to the second question, and this is not preached on too often, my first response is that communion always involves a table for two. Now, don't jump the gun on anything I'm saying. Okay? Communion does always involve a table for two. You've heard the phrase, two's company, three's a crowd. However, in communion, that's not necessarily true. Even if there are 1,000 people in the same auditorium, communion should always be deeply personal between you and your master. Communion should be a time when you focus on the company you keep with the Lord Messiah Jesus. Why? Because the body of Jesus was broken for you personally. Jesus shed his blood for you personally. You've been forgiven personally. You've been made a child of God personally. The Holy Spirit has been sent to dwell in you personally. God's healing and restoring power is available to you personally. This is powerful stuff. Let's read Paul's words found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner and drinks judgment or drinks and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Three things in particular I want to note. Jesus expects you to examine yourself. Jesus expects you to know that his body was broken for you. Jesus expects you to discern the Lord's body. Well, let's talk about examining yourself. Some people read these verses in 1 Corinthians, and then they become hypercritical of themselves. I'm so unworthy. I messed up this last past week. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve to take communion. Well, I have good news for you. Sinning does not disqualify you from taking communion. If it did, then nobody would qualify. This table is not for perfect people. Think about it. Examining yourself doesn't mean condemning yourself. Yet many people do that. So we examine ourselves in the light of God's love and mercy, in the light of his shed blood, in the light of what his word says. If you see an area where you need to make an adjustment, then make it. and know that God is for you. He's not against you. He wants you to overcome your difficulties. He wants to help you overcome. He doesn't want to condemn you for having fallen short. It's okay to examine yourself. Don't read something into these words from Jesus that are not there. What about understanding that Jesus' body was broken for you? There are quite a few verses we could turn to. I selected 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. This is an understanding of what Jesus accomplished when he was crucified. You understand that his body was broken for you. Communion is a time when you and God can fellowship personally. It's a table for two. But there is another aspect of communion that Jesus mentioned. He said we are to discern the Lord's body. So we understand that communion is not exclusively a table for two. It's not. And as we answer the question, who's going to be with you, we also recognize that communion involves a table for all. Everyone who responds to the invitation is accepted. No one is turned away. By coming together at his table, discerning and understanding what Jesus accomplished, we become unified in him. We don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what he is. The Apostle Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. Yes, we need to understand what Jesus did for us individually, but we must also discern or recognize the body of Christ, the church. We must recognize that the church body is comprised of every born from above person on earth and in heaven. Born from above, another way to say born again. The communion table is not a charismatic table or a Pentecostal table or a Protestant table. The communion table is not a Methodist table or a Baptist table or a Presbyterian table or a Lutheran table or any flavors table. The communion table is the Lord's table, and everyone who belongs to him, regardless of their label, has a right to partake here at the table. We have equal access. The Lord's table is an equal opportunity table. We also know that Paul was very honest about the conduct of worship in the Corinthian church. The believers in the church of Corinth were not unified. They were not walking in love toward one another. I don't have that up here. Well, let's emphasize that the Lord's table is an equal opportunity table from a verse in Revelation first. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Indeed, this is an equal opportunity table. The Apostle Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. Ouch! The believers in Christ, Paul scolds them and says they do more harm by meeting together than good. In 1 Corinthians, Paul went on to describe a situation in the Corinthian church of strife and division that even affected the way the believers approached the Lord's table. If you are going to enjoy communion as a table for two, that means Jesus and you, then you must also make sure you are enjoying it as a table for all. A person will never fully enjoy his or her relationship with God and receive all the blessings God has for that person if that person is harboring ill will, resentment, unforgiveness, critical nature, rebellious attitude, and hopefully not malice. The truth is, your attitude and your actions toward others, and especially toward other believers, has much to do with what you receive from God. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Get yourself right with the body of believers first before you come to the table, Jesus is saying. Now, suppose I take a small wafer that we use in communion and throw it on the ground and step on it. What would you say about that? That might upset you, annoy you. Why? Because the wafer represents the body of Christ, and you expect me to handle it respectfully. But the wafer is still only just a symbol that represents the body of Christ. It's just a symbol. Now suppose you or I disrespect another member of the body of Christ. That person may not be the most prominent member of the church, like the little toe on your body. But that person is still part of the body of Christ. And if you step on my little toe, you'll hurt me. That means a little toe is important in the body of Christ. Every believer is important in the body of Christ. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Jesus holds every member of the body of Christ to be important. So here's the conclusion. You can't honor a piece of bread during communion while at the same time disrespecting and mistreating brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you do this, you are certainly not discerning the Lord's body. If you're disrespecting a brother and sister in the body. This is where the Corinthian believers really missed the mark. During communion, they claimed to honor the Lord's body, but their careless and selfish behavior was dishonoring to the body of Christ. You need to know why you're at the table, and you need to know who's with you at the table. Communion is a table for two, you and Jesus. It's a place where you and Jesus can fellowship together in remembrance of all that he's done for you, you individually. It's a place where you can celebrate all the benefits provided to you through his shed blood and his broken body. Communion is also a table for all believers. It's a place where all natural barriers cease to exist. It's a place where we recognize, honor, and respect all others who are part of the body of Christ. It's a place where we acknowledge and give thanks to God for what he's done for all of us. All of us in the body of Christ, which we call the church. And we know the church, the ecclesia, means those who are called out of this world. It's a place where we remember, give thanks to God for what he's done for all of us through the Lord. Before we distribute, we're going to sing Holy Ground by Jesus.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is here, and where he is, it's holy. This is holy.
From Mark 14, verse 22, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we remember the words of Jesus. He took that bread and said, thanks, as he broke it. Told the disciples it was his body. Symbolic, yes, but a reminder that has lived on through the centuries. Reminder of why we come to this table. Because the body of Jesus was broken for us. We don't understand it. It's hard to comprehend why you would send your son, Jesus, to be born of a virgin. Why you loved us so much in this vast universe. We feel just like a dot in space. Individually, we feel like less than a dot. But yet, your love was there. You sent your son. You sent your best. And he orchestrated it all. There was no doubt in his mind what he came to do. And he accomplished what you sent him to do. He allowed his body to be broken. Part of your incredible plan from eternity past. And it brings us into a new relationship with you, Lord God. We are forever grateful. We pray in his name with unending thankfulness and gratitude. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus then broke the bread, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We continue reading in Mark chapter 14, verses 23 through 25. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Jesus then took the cup, a symbol of the new covenant in his blood. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that the story would not be complete without the shedding of your Son's blood. The spilling of your Son's blood indeed was spilt, fulfilling script prophecy as he became our Redeemer, our substitution. And his blood covered our sins. Not that they aren't there, but you no longer look at them because of the obedience of your Son, so willing to take that trip up to that cross, allow his body to be broken, allow his blood to be spilled. And then we know, as we read in Scripture, he gave up the ghost. He gave up his life. He could have stepped off of that cross at any moment. But we knew he was there for a purpose. The purpose was to allow us to have a new way to be in relationship with his Father, Jesus, the firstborn of the church, those who are called out. Like you, Father, Jesus loves us. He tells us he told the people and the disciples that he was their friend. Just as any person has a friend, Jesus told us he is our friend. And he taught us that you love us just as you loved him. It's hard for us to fathom such love, but yet that's what Jesus tells us, and he showed us through what he did on the cross that day. So we bow in reverence. We kneel before you, Lord God, expressing our love for something we cannot understand, but we believe it with a deep faith, with deep thankfulness, and we experience the changing power within us every moment of every day. And may our lives be an example to others, and that they see within us something that they recognize is missing in their lives. We remember your body and your blood, Lord Jesus, with much thankfulness and gratitude, we pray. In his name, our Redeemer's name, Messiah Jesus, amen. Jesus then said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this blood, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Amen. We'll close out our service by coming together, singing the first verse of "Blessed Be the Tie that binds. If we click forward, we got the words up there if you don't know the first verse.
Blessed be the tie that binds our
that's in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.